Bibles with us this evening, turn to the book of John, the book of John chapter 6. I hope you're praying for our pastor. It's always a needful thing for us to pray for our pastor, but even more so when he's away from us. I hope you're praying for him in the days to come here as he and Miss Rebecca celebrate with Reagan there, his accomplishment. And I pray that you would pray for wisdom for them as well, and Reagan, as he decides the next steps for his future there. Lots of things to consider, and so I hope you'll be in prayer for their family tonight. John chapter 6, I hope to be a help to you tonight in looking at some very simple things, a very familiar portion of Scripture here, but so applicable to us in everyday life, and I hope that this passage and thought for the evening will be a help to you. Look at verse number 1, if you would, of John chapter number 6. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up in a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet should come into the world. And I want to preach for just a few moments tonight on this thought tonight. Come hungry and leave filled. Come hungry and leave filled. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you that we have ability and opportunity here without fear of reprisal to open the Word of God and study it openly this evening. I pray that we would never take that for granted, as it may not always be the case. And Lord, we pray for those around the world that don't enjoy that freedom this evening. We pray that you would give strength and comfort to those. Be with our missionaries that serve in such fields all over the globe tonight. And Lord, we do pray for our pastor this evening. I pray that you give him safety where he is tonight, that you would give him an enjoyable time there with family and bring them back to us safely as well. And Lord, we pray for our time here together tonight that it would be profitable. Lord, would you fill me with the Holy Spirit of God? I pray that you'd bind me behind the cross of Calvary, that I would say nothing that would bring dishonor to your name. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for what goes on here tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We see in this passage of Scripture, again, a very familiar portion of Scripture, but we see a multitude of individuals who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And another account in the Word of God in the Gospels refers to the region that they are in as a desert place. And it kind of puts in our mind's eye where they're gathered here together. And we see this multitude has followed the Lord Jesus Christ due to his fame and popularity that's spreading all over the globe or all over the region around. And they're following him really just wanting to see another miracle, really just wanting to see another thing that he will do next. And as it's so important whenever in Scripture, when we see a verbiage here such as the Lord looking out, I think God desires for us to have the same vision that he has. We'll get there in just a little bit of how that can apply to us where we are in our lives. But I think it's important wherever God talks about how he views people, I think God wants us to view people the same way through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful tonight that we serve a Savior who looks out on people that have physical needs and have spiritual needs, and his heart is moved with compassion. But you know, I see something else for us as believers here tonight in this story. As these individuals came with a need, their need was met. Did you come tonight with a need? Did you come tonight having a desire upon your heart that you're looking to have filled? Can I tell you this evening, God's going to fill it. If you're looking for him to fill it, God will fill that need that's in your heart and life tonight. Now, I thought of this just before I came up to preach. Is anybody physically hungry tonight? Right now, you skipped dinner on the way in, all right? We got a few helpless souls tonight that didn't get to eat before they came in. Well, I'm not going to help you physically tonight, okay? By the time I'm done, you'll be more hungry. And I enjoy, in my own personal study, I enjoy studying portions of Scripture that are easy to visualize. Things that are, and aren't you thankful God wrote the Bible that way? That it's very easy to understand these types of portions of Scripture because we can all relate to having been in these same type of positions. But as the Lord looks out on these individuals, he sees a group of people that just practically, they need to be fed. Folks, tonight, the question for us, and not so much speaking physically tonight, the question is not if we need to be fed or if it's even a possibility, but do we realize it? And I'm concerned in my own life with how often I can come to a point in my own life where I stop desiring to be filled by Almighty God. And I think it's prevalent among Christianity. The longer that we're saved, the less hungry we become. Now, I've probably said this here before. I'll say it again and probably many more times. I consider myself a little bit of a foodie. Now, if you don't understand the term foodie, what that means is I love to try new food. Now, we were just discussing this the other day over lunch. Pastor and I went to Thailand just recently. And if you've traveled with your pastor, if you've eaten lunch with your pastor, he's not a foodie, okay? And he would be the first to tell you that. He doesn't try new food. He knows what he likes, and he eats that. He will venture out in little... When I was really young, he never used to eat anything that was green. And he's graduated from that, and he's doing a little bit better. He'll eat a few salads here and there. But I love to try new food, and I was there with my brother-in-law, Watt, who's our missionary, Watt, and Amanda Dawson Todd there. He's my brother-in-law. And I followed him around wherever we went to eat, and I was like, okay, what are we eating tonight? And he would rattle something off and I'd say, okay, I don't know what that is, but if you suggest it, we'll try it. And I just love to try new food. And we would, several times there, and the teens will get to experience some of this next summer, but we would, in some portions, we would sit down and they would serve us kind of family style. They would just bring out platters of food and they would sit on the table and then the whole table could just kind of pick and choose and sample everything that was there. Well, the worst thing that I hate to happen when that type of setting is before me is I hate to try everything and I get full because I'm trying everything, but then at the end of trying everything, I find something I really, really like and I'm full. And then I'm looking and I'm at, oh, I wish that I could eat more of this food because it was so good. Today, Miss Anita, she just outdid herself again today in feeding the staff lunch this afternoon. And I just ate and ate and, oh, I wanted more because it was so good, but I was full. You know, many times I believe we come into the house of God and we're already full and we're not ready and willing to sit down at the feet of Jesus and partake of anything because we're already full of too much. And so often, if we're not careful in our own Christian walks, what happens is as we get more and more familiar with the things of God, they mean just a little bit less than they used to mean. They're no longer filling that void that is inside. They're no longer ministering to our needs because no longer are we sitting down hungry before the feet of Jesus. But as this multitude had gathered here, just feasibly in traveling by foot, as they had wandered out into the desert regions away from any town, feasibly they could not travel back in a reasonable amount of time and to partake of food. And the Lord Jesus Christ turns and kind of testing his disciples, he says, what are we going to do to feed these people? And they, of course, start trying to fumble and say, well, Lord, even with a great deal of money, there's no way that we could feed all of these people. And folks, tonight, oftentimes the vastness that is the need that is out in our world today, the vastness that is the opposition to the things of God today sometimes seem to make the things of God seem insurmountable. They're not possible anymore. But you know, I came tonight to try to encourage us once again to not allow ourselves to become full of the things of this world and filled with the things that may fill for a time, but leave us unable to take in what God really would have us to take in. Can we look at a few things from this passage together tonight? When you look down at this idea of being filled, the Bible says also in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I meet people all the time that are searching. They're searching for something. Even believers. Many times we believe this is just for those that would have not trusted and accepted Christ as their Savior. But so often Christians are searching for the next thing in their life. And they're searching for fulfillment. They're searching for happiness and peace. And the Bible gives us such a clear answer here. If we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, God will fill us. Can I help you tonight? If you're searching for something in your life, and I have no idea what it could be. Maybe it's, what's the next career path God would have me to take? What's the next location God would move me to? What's the next step in my life, whether physical or spiritual? Can I encourage you tonight that if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you will hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't have to search for it. You won't have to long for it any longer, because God will make it plainly evident to you in your life what He wants you to do. It won't even be a guessing game, because God says those individuals that thirst and hunger after righteousness, the Word of God says they'll be filled. You know, when you look at the idea of being filled, it's stuffed, it's overflowing, it's not needing anything else to entertain it. But when God fills us with His righteousness, everything else falls into place. And so often we think, I've got to manipulate the situation. I've got to make all of the marks make sense. I've got to dot all my I's and cross all my T's, and everything has to mathematically figure out for all of life for me to do it. But God says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. But God clearly, I believe, indicates to us in this scripture some things that come in to contact with our lives that keep us from longing to be fed by God Almighty. You know, again, the question tonight is not if I need to be filled, but do I desire it? Am I longing for God to fill my life? Am I longing for God to feed me on a daily basis? We so desperately need to be fed. The first thing I'd like to show you from the Word of God tonight is what can destroy your hunger. What can destroy your hunger for the things of God? Look at down at verse number 7, if you would. The Bible says, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You know, the first thing that destroys my hunger for Almighty God to feed me is doubt. And it creeps up in so many areas of my life, doubt. Doubting that God can do much with little. Doubting that God can multiply what I am willing to give to Him to do a great work. Here in 2 instances, 2 different disciples come to Him and say, 200 pennyworth is not enough. Even if everybody just took a little sampling of what we bought, we could not buy enough to feed all of these people. And the other brings the small boy's lunch and says, what is this? What is this small thing among so many? And folks, we are so prone in our Christian lives to say, how could God do anything with so little of what I've got to offer Him? I'll be honest with you tonight, as the youth pastor of Fairfax Baptist Temple, the devil fights me on a daily basis and says, how can you compete with what the world is offering teenagers? Why do you keep trying? What are we among so many obstacles? But what will destroy you from being hungry for what God has for you on a daily basis is doubting that He can do much with little. You know, the greatest times that God uses us is when we bring the meager things that we have and we lay them on the altar before the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do anything with this, but I'm willing to give it to You. And God will take it and do great and mighty things with it. But our hunger is destroyed when we doubt Almighty God, when we doubt what He can do with little, or we doubt, secondly, not only that we doubt in God's ability to do much with little, but we doubt God's ability to do more than the opposition. Folks, we as believers will stand on the rooftops and scream that God is mightier than any. And we will stand on the rooftops and scream that God is able to conquer anything. But then our lives scream everything opposite of it. And here, these individuals that had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, they had eaten with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had ministered with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had personally, hands-on, showed them many miracles that he was willing to bring to pass in all of that. They had visibly seen all of this. They doubted that God could do much with little, and they doubted that God could do more than what was opposing them. What's opposing you in your life today? You know, sometimes it's us that's opposing us. You ever find that your flesh is your greatest enemy on a daily basis? And sadly, folks, I would imagine in a room this size tonight, there's individuals that say, "Pastor Kyle, you don't know. You don't know what my flesh has already partaken in. You don't know what my flesh has already been capable of doing, and I don't think God can either forgive me for that or help me to have victory over it." Folks, tonight, if that's your mentality, if that's your mindset this evening, God is unable to feed you now because you're doubting what God can do. But you know, when this little boy shows us the faith, I believe the faith that it takes to move mountains, and says, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know what it can do, but here it is." He begins to show us that when I am willing to trust God, when I'm willing to believe in what God can do, God can begin to fill and to feed the needs that are all around us. So what can destroy your hunger? First of all, doubt, and I've got to move rapidly. The second thing, not only doubt, but distractions. Distractions. Oh, don't we live in a world full of distractions? Verse number 10, look at it. It says, "And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Don't pass over that when reading this portion of Scripture. That's crucial. The Lord says, "All right, everybody sit down." I can imagine that with 5,000 men standing, plus women and children, even out where they were, and as they were crowding in to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ preach, I can imagine the insanity that it was all around them. I was just out in the lobby the last evening, and we had probably 300-500 people here, probably may have been over that, but I was in the lobby, and I was a little overwhelmed with how many people were all around. Can you imagine 5,000 men plus all the women and children that are surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ? And finally, the men are coming. You can imagine through the crowd as disciples are running up saying, "Lord, here's a lunch from a little boy, but what's this among so many? And if we had all this money, we couldn't feed everybody but just a little bit." And you can imagine the hectic chaos that's going on around. And the Lord says, "Have them sit down. Everybody stop for just a minute." Folks, every once in a while in our lives, and I know this is difficult, especially in the area with which we live, we've got to just stop. Remove the distractions. What's distracting you in your life today? What priorities need to be rearranged in our lives so that God can speak, so that God can work in our lives? But one of the greatest things that challenges God feeding us in our lives is not only doubt, but it's distractions that come all around. Pastor just spoke to the staff yesterday, and he brought up a great point. Oftentimes, in our modern age, we've turned to electronics for many things, and one of those is our Bible reading. And I'm prone to do this as well. I know many of you are as well. Sometimes it's the most convenient option that we have, but we've got to be so careful. And as he was speaking, he said, "How many of you had a text come through while I was speaking?" My eyes lit up because my wife texted me twice while he was speaking. Don't tell him. Hope he's not watching. But I'm just saying, that's just one area where we're distracted constantly because there's no removal from information that's flowing to us at all times. How can God feed in that type of environment? We had a wonderful time a few evenings ago celebrating Elliot's second birthday. It was so funny to watch him come in, and he had gifts all around him, and he was starting to open them, but every time he got a gift, he got distracted with it. And he had a ball that came out very soon, and he started dribbling it all over the house. And we're like, no, you've got to open these presents. And I mean, have you ever seen you have to drag a kid back to open presents? But we're dragging him back. We're saying, no, and I opened this, but he was distracted. There was things all around him. And I saw at one point his eyes got real big, and he didn't know which way to go because there was so much stuff there. He was just distracted. So often we get so many things going at one time, and occasionally we need to just stop and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me again. Feed me. Allow the distractions to be neutralized. The third thing, not only doubt and not only distractions, but a de-emphasizing of thankfulness. Look at verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, to me, that's a powerful verse. The one who created the very bread with which he was about to spread and to more than likely eat himself, stops and gives thanks for it. Now, I'm not going to preach now on the importance of us blessing our food. I think if you've been saved for any amount of time, that's one of the first things we start doing. But are we truly thankful for what God has given us? If we stop and think, there's many times when more than being thankful for what God's given us, oftentimes we're concerned with what we don't have, with what's not ours. You know, I believe that from the Word of God, we can clearly see how being fed by Almighty God really can trace itself back to my mentality and my attitude towards God Himself. What's my mentality towards God? What is my motivation and relationship in living out my Christian life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it just part of, well, it's just what I've always done. It's how I was raised. It's just the habit that I'm going through. Or is it all born from a genuine thankfulness for everything that God has given us? Is it born out of a genuine thankfulness that God sent His only precious Son to die for our sins that we could have a hope of eternal life, and everything else that comes out of my life is flowing from that directly, a thankfulness because of what God's done for me, what I ought to give back to Him. You see, when I'm thankful for something, when I am a thankful individual, then anything that God sends my way, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I enjoy, the older I get, I think the more I enjoy giving gifts more than I like getting gifts. I love to give my kids gifts. I love to give gifts away to the teen group. I love to give gifts away to those that have a special occasion. It's just enjoyable to give away things and to see the joy that it gives as you give away a gift. But you know, one of the things that irks me, and I've seen it a few times, I don't think I've seen it in my kids yet, I hope, but I don't like when I see somebody receive a gift and they're like, and they kind of throw it aside. All right, what's next? Have you ever seen a kid how they open a birthday card? They open the birthday card and usually they'll grab it from the top corner and they shake it real good and see if any money or anything falls out. If it doesn't, they throw it back in the bag and see what the gift is. You know, when my heart becomes that of no longer being thankful to what God's given me, becomes very difficult for God to feed me, for God to fill me with the things He desires to fill me with. Those three things, the doubt, the distractions, the de-emphasizing of thankfulness, those are some of the areas that can destroy our hunger. The second thing, what can develop our hunger? What can develop our hunger? The first thing I believe is for us to develop the Lord's eyesight. Look at verse 2 again. The Bible says, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And skim down to verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Down in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things." You know why I believe in my life, and I'm tempted to believe it's true for others as well. I believe the reason we're not hungrier for the things of God and desiring to feed from the things of the Word of God, it's because as we have eaten and devoured and soaked up the things of the Word of God, many times we fail to give those things back out. And instead of going through the process of duplication that God would have in our lives, we've just taken in and taken in and taken in until that which we have becomes soured. You know, again, back to the very elementary illustration, when we are so full of anything, and we've probably all been there where we were full of something that was just okay, but we saw something better come along and we couldn't even partake in it because we were so full. And so often in our lives, the things of the Word of God start not having the same effect because we haven't used what was there. We haven't spent out anything that God has been placing within our lives. But we've allowed those things from the world to fill us to where we can't take in anymore. You know, as Christians, our heart's cry ought to be, "Lord, give me your sight." As God looks out on these people, the Bible says he has compassion on them. Folks, please, I beg you tonight as a believer, don't lose your compassion for people. I stood on the 83rd floor of a place called the Bayuk Tower in Bangkok, Thailand. And the floor on that tower, it's out on a porch type area, and the entire top of it spins very slowly so you can view the entire 360 degrees of Bangkok. I was leaning against the fence, looking out. It was dark, the city was lit all over the landscape. And I looked out and I leaned over and I told Pastor, I said, "I can't even see the end of it. I can't see where the city stops." And God smote my heart there. Because it struck me that evening of how many souls must be, if I even drew a straight line to the horizon, how many souls must be in each and every home throughout that area. And God smote my heart that night and said, "How could you not be thankful for all that you've been blessed with when there are so many that have never heard?" Folks, can I beg you tonight, don't lose compassion for people. There's many of you I know in communication that we've had, much of your day is spent commuting in and out of D.C. I was sharing a conversation with Brother Chaco several months ago, and he was sharing all the experiences of riding the slug line into work for so many years into work in D.C. And so I was thinking of that. Folks, what a mission field we have here in this area. The people that we run across, whether you ride the train or maybe you ride in a car with strangers every day into work, or there's people all around you that you know at work that are not believers. Can I beg you tonight, don't lose your compassion for them. Christ hasn't lost his. And I believe something that would make us desirous of the things of God, that would cause us to be hungry for what God desires to fill us with, that would make us desire for the good food of the Word of God, would be when God develops his eyesight into us, where we see people for who they are and where they are and what God desires for them. Developing God's eyesight can develop our hunger, but also, secondly, a distribution of the leftovers. Look at verse 12. It says, "When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." They used to have a phrase in our homiletics course at Crown They would talk about preaching out of the overflow. Some of you that have been in a class similar to that may have heard that. And he would talk about studying ourselves full and reading ourselves full and then allowing God to put us in the pulpit and just ring us out. And folks, that's what comes to mind when I think about these fragments that remain. As God fed and as God provided for the 5,000 plus individuals that are on the scene, as God fed and as God gave sustenance to those individuals as they ate, there was things that were left over all over the place. And God says, don't let any of them go to waste. Gather them up. They're going to feed somebody else. He says, gather them up. We're going to keep those. We're going to send those back to this boy's home so that they can bless them. Folks, where are the fragments in our lives? Where are the things that need to be gathered, the things that need to be stored so that they can be used for other individuals? Where are we allowing things to fall by the wayside? That God says, I want to use those. I want you to take these little things of truth that are just overflowing out of your life, and I want you to spread them to the world that needs to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. These two things can develop our hunger, developing the Lord's eyesight and distribution of the leftovers. But the third thing tonight, and we'll be done, where can I go to be fed? The first place, and we say this so often in church, and I'm so grieved by how it seems that the words start sounding hollow or sub-level even to say this, but it's so crucial to our lives. The first place that I can go to be fed is God's Word. But folks, and I come from the background of, I was saved at about the age of 11 years old, and I've been in church my entire life. I remember walking into a Sunday school class when I was 6 years old. My parents were newly saved, and we walked into a Sunday school class, and I was scared to death. I didn't want to be there, but I didn't have a choice. I stayed. And then I remember, I don't remember much about the Sunday school class, but I remember walking out of the Sunday school class and I walked into the doors of the junior church that was there. It was the first day I was eligible to go to junior church. And I walked in the doors and Pastor Abby was standing up preaching to the junior church kids that morning. And I remember from that day on, my parents had me in church on every Sunday, every Wednesday, forsaking a few along the way, I'm sure, but we were there every week. And I remember as a young boy all the way through, I remember it being a course of conversation at every available time. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You need to be doing your devotions. You need to read the Word of God. And I remember as a teenager thinking, there's got to be more to it than that. Can't they give me some revolutionary thought that's going to make me the greatest Christian? You know what? They were. And I was missing it. The Bible talks about the Word of God and how precious it is. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Talks about finding the words of God and then being the necessary food that he needs for the day. Folks, it's not just a cliche. It's not just what preachers say because we run out of things to say. We always have things to say. Amen. It's not a cliche. It's the source that's going to provide what we need each and every day of our lives. And because the devil knows that, because the devil desires for us not to grow closer unto God himself, because the devil desires for us to stay where we are and not to be filled, I believe he's done a masterful job of downplaying the importance of reading the Word of God. I encourage you, as often as you can, read good books about the things of God. There's wonderful authors out there that have written great things for us to study. But folks, never supplement, never change, never wander from reading this book. It's the source of everything that we need in our Christian lives. I can go to the Word of God to be fed. Second place, and I hope this will always be true about FBT, I can always come to the church to be fed. I know as long as we have anything to do with it, and I believe most of you that I've met would reiterate this. And if we ever, Pastor Abby or I or any of the other ministerial staff, ever wander from this book, run us off. Because a church should be a place that we can come and be fed. And I am so thankful for a pastor who week in and week out takes the Word of God and walks through it. He doesn't preach his opinions. He doesn't preach what he thinks that we ought to do in our lives. He takes the Word of God and he opens it up. He says, "Thus saith the Lord." And folks, I won't get into a long debate with you about how many times a week that you should come to church. That's between you and God, and you're here on a Wednesday night. I'd be preaching to the wrong crowd, amen? But folks, I've never seen anybody that invested themselves in the house of God that ever regretted it. Now, there may be bumps and bruises along the way, hurt feelings that take place because of meeting with other individuals, but I've never seen anybody that's invested in God's house and regretted it. It's a place to be fed. The third thing tonight, I can go to God's Word to be fed. I can go to the church to be fed. But the third thing is I can go to the throne room of God to be fed. Look, let me just give you this verse. You can jot it down if you'd like to. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." I learn much from reading the Word of God. I learn much from studying the Word of God. But I believe it could be said God's taught me more and fed me more when I've just been in His presence. When I've entered into what the Bible speaks of there as the secret place. That place where it's just me and God. And folks, tonight, again, it's not an issue of if we need to be fed. It's an issue of do we desire to be fed? Tonight, when you came, were you hungry for something? When you came tonight, were you desirous of God to give you something? Or did you come tonight saying, "Well, it's Wednesday night, that's what we do. Let's check it off the box for the week." And I make light of that, but folks, I believe every one of us is prone to that type of mentality becoming, even if it's not out in the forefront, a lot of times it becomes in the back where we're no longer desiring to be fed from God Almighty. Tonight I pray we'd examine our hearts and say, "Lord, give me a desire to be fed from You." Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would take these words from the Word of God, use them in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that You would show us exactly where we're lacking in these areas. And Lord, that we would repent of our sin, that we would do whatever it takes, Lord, to draw closer to You each and every day. Lord, don't allow us to get full of the things of the world, the junk food the world offers us. But Lord, that we would desire the sincere milk and meat of the Word of God. Lord, would You feed us as Your people? And would You give us a heart that desires that in each life? Well, thank You for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to do something a little unusual.